goodness. You know, where I come from, there's a saying, and maybe where you come from, maybe not, said when you talk about people that are good, you say they're just good people. They're good people. Well, I think this morning you're good people. I really do. It's a joy to be your pastor. There's a story of a family that moved to a new neighborhood, and they had noticed when they moved in a neighborhood, an elderly man didn't seem to be much of economic means, was walking around their neighborhood. And you would know it, several days in, the elderly man came knocking at their door, his eyes glazed over, a little unshaven. They noticed he wasn't dressed very well, noticed that even he never had shoes. He didn't have shoes that matched. And the first time they met him, he had a right shoe on both feet. He was kind of scary in a way. And he was holding some vegetables that didn't look that appealing. And that's what he was doing. He was selling vegetables from his garden door to door. And that first time they thought, you know, just to alleviate the personal fear they had that they would buy a few vegetables from him, thought maybe that would get rid of him. But wouldn't you know it, the next week, who returned? Mr. Reuben returns. He knocks on the door. This time he brought a harmonica. And they would buy vegetables. They noticed something different this time, though. They realized that his eyes being glazed over wasn't alcohol or anything like that. It was glaucoma. At least that's what they thought it was. And he would sell vegetables, and he would pull out his harmonica, and he would play some of them old gospel tunes. Hey, we sing one or two of those old-time songs today, didn't we? I'll tell you what, we're going to sing more of those. We want to sing some of those as well. It was a touching moment I felt in our worship service. But he would take out his harmonica and play one of those old gospel tunes. So every time Mr. Reuben would come, they knew they would have vegetables and religion. They really felt bad for him in a sense, because still he always wore unmatching shoes. A lot of times the same shoe, right shoe on both feet. One day, many weeks in, and they had snuck out in the night and put some shoes and clothing on his front doorstep. They just wanted to be anonymous givers. So many times y'all give great gifts anonymously. They just wanted to be good to Mr. Reuben. He showed up a few days later and he said, "The Lord is good. I'm back." And so they're doing the vegetables thing, and he says, "You know what? I was really blessed a few days ago. I went to my front door, and at the front door was a bag of clothes and several pair of new shoes." Well, the family said, "We are so happy for you, Mr. Reuben." He said, "You know what's even more wonderful than that?" And the little girl said, "What, Mr. Reuben?" He said, "Just yesterday, I met some people that could use them." Isn't that kind of funny? But isn't that also kind of touching? Mr. Reuben is good people. There's still a lot of good people in the world. I said there's still a lot of good people in the world. In Galatians 5 and 22, the verse we read every Sunday in this series, it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Did I say goodness? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You know what goodness reminds me of? This is some of God's goodness. Can I get an amen? Now we're about ready to have a revival, aren't we? Woo, doggies. Hey, I just got back from Kentucky this week seeing my mother. That's one of their phrases back there too. My brother-in-law, he gets excited. He goes, "Woo, doggies." I said, "Man, your country." You know, since I moved away from Kentucky, I'm quite much more sophisticated. Don't you love the smell of coffee? It reminds me of goodness. I brought this and Darla didn't know, honey. I'm not giving this one away today. We're going to take this home. Would you come get it? I know. I can see you. I'm looking around the crowd. You're going, gosh, I know he's going to give it away. He always gives stuff away. He's going to give the coffee away. Some of y'all had your hand ready. Just go, I want it. Well, I decided to keep it today. I did buy it after all. I mean, you know. Good old coffee beans. You know, the word goodness in the original language means moral excellence to the very center of one's core. And the reason I use coffee, and just to have fun and a little bit, but, you know, coffee is the core fruit of a what? A berry. And that's why it's so good. But goodness in us represents excellence and being good in the very core of our being. And I'm going to say this morning, and we're going to hit a few points, and then we'll come to the communion table. We can be good because Jesus is good. And if we're connected to Christ and walking in relationship with Christ, we should be increasing in goodness. We should be maturing in goodness. You should be much... And I'm going to get to this. I'm not talking about salvation yet. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But as we walk with Christ, we should become more like Christ. And how many of you know Jesus is the ultimate good? Again, we spell goodness J-E-S-U-S. That's how we spell goodness. So as we walk, we've learned with the fruit of the Spirit that fruit takes time to mature. But as we walk with Christ, that fruit of goodness should be manifesting in your life. And you should be maturing in goodness, growing in goodness. And we've also learned as you abide in the Christ, He abides in you, that you not only, your goodness should not only grow, but there should be lots of it. Jesus promised an abundance of goodness. So you should look to your neighbor and say, you're good people. Now look back to them and say, if you're walking with Jesus, you should be better next year. It's true. We should be better today than we were yesterday. Come on now. You should be a gooder person next year than you are this year. You say, well, that's... Now, come on, I've used it. You say, well, that's just not me. I'm not built that way. That's not my personality. It's sad to say that's probably true then. Because goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. We've had fun with this series, but I tell you what, I don't know if it's challenged you, but it sure has challenged me. Goodness. My goodness. Goodness. If you're married, look to your mate and say, you better get better. No, don't do that. So let's look at a few points this morning. And I think the first point and the main point is God is good. You know, I preach on a reservation a lot, the Apache reservation in particular, and then been on the Navajo reservation many times, preach camp meetings, men's meetings, etc. And those with those folks, when you say God is good all the time, see, I mean, that's just an automatic thing. But God is good. And we say it all the time. But I want you to know this morning, it's not a pun. It is very foundational in the Scripture. I could give you dozens and dozens and dozens of Scripture describing how good God is and the goodness of God. It's one of the great themes of the Bible is God is good. It's foundational for us to know this morning that God is good. It's a basic building block as we walk with Christ. Psalm 100, and we'll read about five verses there, says this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Give me an amen on that. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His court with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is... and His love, some translations say mercy, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God is good. I read that psalm, which was a song that David had written, that makes me want to praise Him. Psalm 31 and 19 says this: how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those that fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all those who take refuge in you. God, listen. God has good things stored up for His children in abundance. You say, well, that's too good to be true. It sure is too good to be true. Jesus is too good to be true. God is good. He's for you. He's not against you. He's on your side. He's got your back. And He's got an abundance, say abundance, abundance of good things. Hallelujah. You see, some people have a twisted view of God. A very twisted view. Now, the Lord shows Himself in dozens of ways that we won't get in today. We're talking about goodness. But so many people think God is cruel, or God is vengeful, or God is mean, or God is vindictive. It's not true. God is good. He is good. Good. Oh, You are good. Good. Oh. I started crying when we sung that song today, because God is good. He's been good to me. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more you realize how good He is. Oh, we've talked about kindness and patience, and yes, He is. We talk about goodness today. You see, number two, the goodness of God is behind every blessing. Let's don't ever take our blessings for granted. Because behind every blessing is God's goodness. He's the one behind. Every blessing you've ever experienced wasn't because of you, wasn't even really because of somebody else. It's because God is good. And every blessing He's behind. We read in James 1 and 16. We'll read a few verses there. Don't be deceived. Now I want you to understand, he's dealing with deception in context of what we're reading. We could talk about deception in a number of contexts. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is above, from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be kind of a first fruits of all created. Hey, don't be deceived. Anything good that's ever happened to you come from God. Now, He reigns, blesses the righteous as well as the unrighteous. And sometimes that may be hard to understand, and that's not what we're going to talk about today. Every blessing has come from the Lord. You know, I thought, as just reflecting on the creation and back in the first part of Genesis, and I don't want to preach from there this morning, but I counted it. Seven times in 6 days, God saw that it was good. And the last time, and you can go read it, and I just kind of skimmed through it the last few weeks. The last time He said it was very good. You see, God was providing blessing and goodness right for the gift. And then if you keep reading there a couple chapters, when He saw something that wasn't very good, and I don't know if you remember what it was, Adam was alone. And He saw that wasn't very good, so He made a woman. Hey, hey, hey! And that was good. That is good. It's kind of funny, isn't it? You ladies say, see, I told you. Life ain't going to be very good without me, honey. Y'all, is my accent a little thicker? It's going to take me a week or two. You get around those folk back home, I mean, I can't even hardly understand, you know what I mean. My word. I had a friend back home that said, I wouldn't take $1 million for my wife. He said, I wouldn't give a nickel for another one just like her either. Oh, yeah, the only time there in the beginning says it's not very good he made women. Thank God for godly women. Matthew 7:11 says this, and these are the words of the Lord. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask Him? God gives good gifts. You see, again, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. Aren't you, God, glad that Jesus, that the Lord does not change like shifting shadows? Aren't you glad He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? And of course, the greatest gift that God ever gave was grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gives grace. He gives mercy. He came to us because He was good. He sent His Son to us because it was a gift of goodness. He fills us with the Spirit because it's a gift from God. He gives me strength when I'm not strong, because in myself I'm not strong. That's the truth, and neither are you. But He gives the gift of strength in those moments we need extra strength, because He gives good gifts. If you've ever been in bondage, or maybe you are this morning and something's controlling you and you're not controlling it, and it's called sin, and sin can turn into bondage and it can take you out. God is good. There's a gift of repentance. There's a gift of goodness. There's a gift of conviction. There's a gift of forgiveness. There's a gift of setting the captive free. Those are all gifts from God. Hallelujah. And so many of you, hallelujah, so many of you had marriages that were going bad. Darla and I did. Many, it'll be 35 years ago this year. Hallelujah. God gave us a gift. He healed our marriage in a Sunday morning service just like this. But I'll never forget, it was a gift from God. We couldn't work it out. We weren't really wanting to work it out in so many ways. But God was for us and not against us. God is good. God heals. God sets free. He's Jesus Christ. And He gives out good gifts to His children. You simply cannot separate good from God. Thank you, Jesus. His goodness is an ocean that has no shore. His goodness is a mountain that has no summit. His goodness is a road that has no end. His goodness is not meager, but much. His goodness is not skimpy, but sufficient. His goodness is not little, but limitless. His good is not just barely, but bountiful. His goodness is not feeble, but full. God is good, and God gives good gifts. Number three, Pastor Tim, I got four today. I like those 3-point sermons too. They're as much for the preacher as they are for you, trust me. Well, that's the good news. Now I got to give you a little bad news. You see, the good news is you have to talk about the bad news too. By nature, we are not good. Now, I don't have time to talk about it, but all people were created in the image of God. And so you see some God-like characters in people, but when folks fell, when they fell in the beginning, every baby, every person, every man, every woman that ever came or was born after that was born in the flesh and in the sin nature. We're not that good. I tell you, Henry, he used, I think, one of the most provocative questions for his teaching yesterday. One of the most I've ever heard. He said, and this would be my paraphrase, and he's talking to men, are you the man that everybody thinks you are? But my question this morning is really and truly, are you the man or the woman that everybody thinks you are? You see, we're by nature, we're really not that good. Let's read from Romans 3 and 10. We need to stay here a little while. It's important. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. There's not one. There's no one, not one. I need you to know this morning that nobody will ever become good enough to get to heaven in their own goodness. You say, well, they're really, it's hard. See, listen now, you can't get to heaven except you go through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven. You say, well, they're good people. Good people without Christ, believe it or not, will spend eternity in hell. The only way to be saved is through Christ Jesus. The Father sent His Son to the earth who died for no good people like you and I. You said, Pastor, I thought you said, oh gosh, now you're calling us no good. Without Christ, we're no good. We're bad to the bone. We were born in sin. We live in sin. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can experience freedom and forgiveness and eternal life. We're no good. Not one righteous on their own, not one. And you know what? We know it's true. Really, we all do, don't we? We know it's true. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 9. And read, for sake of time, a lot of times I don't read a big text. But read rest of that text that I just read around it before and after it. It's good. This is a message we've heard from him and declare to you. Now, John is writing and he's saying, we've heard this from the Lord. God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we have claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And what we key on, we cannot claim to be without sin because we have all sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. I'll never be good enough. I've got to go in on the goodness of God and the goodness of Son. I can't be good because I'm not. In and of myself. Even in chapter 7 of Romans, and some believe that was before Paul was saved. Some believe that was after Paul was saved. Different Bible scholars. I believe it applies either way. It doesn't really matter. Paul, speaking of the Lord, said, you know, I wanted to do good. I wanted to be good. He had encountered God somehow. He said, I want to do good. He said, but the very good I try to do, I don't end up doing it all. I do the very thing I didn't want to do in the first place. In that whole chapter, he's frustrated with himself. And it's a picture of the Holy Spirit showing us and showing Paul that in and of ourselves, we're no good. And we can't even do the good we want to do. Somebody say amen. It's true. It's so true. And then he struggles. He said, he described a form of Roman torture of a dead corpse wrapped around him and chained to him, rotting away. Sin will rot your soul away. Pleasures of the world will entice you for a little while, and then it'll slam you dead. But Paul's frustrated. He's got this spiritual battle going on, and he wants to be good, but he's realizing in and of himself he's not got that good. I forget the word self or the word ego's in that chapter 30 some odd times. I'd have to look it up. I think it's 38 times. But he's going, I. Let me tell you, I can't do it. And then he says, who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he goes on to say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I'm no good. I can't even do the good I want to. But Jesus is good and God is good and He'll deliver me and give me victory in my life. Hallelujah. Which brings me to the last point. Only Jesus can make us good. Not going to leave you hanging. Romans 8, 1 through 4, and that whole chapter is just wonderful. I wanted to read the whole chapter. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus paid a price I couldn't pay. The price for sin is death. He died at Calvary, shed His blood for you and I. And if you've repented and invited Jesus Christ into your heart, somebody say amen. You're saved. You're saved. You're going to heaven. You begin a journey and a relationship with God. But let me tell you what, as you walk with Him, you will become good like He's good, and you will get gooder and gooder. If you're walking with Him. So by nature, nobody's good. But Jesus makes us good through the gift of salvation. He saves us. And then He shapes us. And He still continues to work in us because we're not perfect. We're being perfected. We're not complete. We're being completed. And as we walk with Christ, we become more like Him and less like ourselves. Because He's good, we can be good. Because He's good, we should become good. And I'm going to jump ahead. There's no Bible-believing, born-again, spiritual Christian that should ever say they're no good. That's the flesh and the enemy every time. I could give you example after examples, but the Lord uses people that are good. The Lord uses good people because Jesus has made them good. Speaking of Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, and we read, he was a good man. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Good. Don't you want to be a good man? Don't you want to be a good woman? Don't you like being around good men and good women? God's people should be good. God's people aren't bad people. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean we don't get in the flesh. That's why John, 1 John 1:9 is there. It was written to the Christians. Just don't pretend that you're good enough to do it on your own. Always lean into Jesus. Always trust Jesus. Always get forgiveness when you need forgiveness from the Lord. But you're not no good. You're not a piece of garbage. You're a child or a daughter or a son of God. And when Jesus makes you good and Jesus says you're good, you're good. I spend more time. I don't spend. People realize when you're talking to them, especially behind closed doors, that their sin's destroying them, and we talk about it. And sometimes we have to get confrontational. It's not my biggest struggle as a pastor. My biggest struggle as a pastor is to convince people that get saved, that's walking with Christ, that may have been beat up or abused or mistreated or hard on themselves, that because Jesus made you good, you're good now. I have to deal with people that won't accept the forgiveness of God, that can't believe Jesus would forgive them. And when you make a mistake, you beat yourself up for 3 or 4 days and treat yourself like a piece of garbage. And that's not the Lord. That's the flesh and the enemy. Because if Jesus saves you and you're walking with Christ, if Jesus says you're good and Jesus makes you good, you are a good person, because the grace of God will always make you good. The grace of God will never make you bad. Never. Wow. Now, I need to wrap this up because we're going to take communion. God will break you down before He builds you up. That's a whole nother topic. And it's really your own sin. But He wants to build you up. 2 Peter 1:3, we'll read a few verses here. His divine power has given us everything we need. Say everything. For a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Whoa! Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And we're going to speak on that here in a few weeks. And I thought patience was a tough thing. I'm beginning to believe self-control may be harder than patience. And that's just a little seed for a few weeks from now. And to self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you look at your neighbor and say, you. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that's what the fruit does. It matures and grows and it increases. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Savior. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. My word, God is good, and God's goodness is behind every blessing you've ever received. In and of myself, I'm no good. I'll never be any good. But because of Jesus Christ, because of His grace, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm good, you're good, we good. We good. Say it with me, we good. Y'all could be from the South. We're good because He's good. Thank you so much, Jesus. How bad would we be without Him? You know it's true. He knows it, and you know it. Even after salvation, how bad we would be without Him every day. If we sing that song, You Are Good, I tell you, it just touches me every time. Because I know how bad I would be without Him. And I know how good I am because of who He is. There's a story of a Japanese man named, and I don't know if I can pronounce it, Chiyun Sugihara. He was a Japanese man that worked for the Japanese government in World War II. He was sent to Lithuania, which, just a short history lesson, not long. Lithuania was packed full of Jews. And Hitler and his regime were after those as well, and slaughtered thousands and thousands of Lithuanian Jews. Chiyun, working on the behalf of the Japanese government. Now, most of you know, probably, maybe not all, that the Japanese were allies with Germany. They were the bad guys then. Chiyun, working in authority with the Chinese or Japanese government, issued travel visas to Jew after Jew after Jew. He was credited, now get this, with saving 6,000 Jewish people, men, women, and children, because he had the power to give them visas to get out. Now, Israel, and still today, and they've been doing this for many years, gives an award called the Righteous Among the Nations. And they do that, and they give those awards, they'll give it this year if they haven't already, to folks that have been faithful and good to the Jewish people. To date, there's roughly 25,000 people that have received this award from the Jewish nation. Chiun is the only Japanese person, even today, to ever receive that award. He knew when he began to stamp those visas and make those visas happen, he could lose his life. So he put his life on the line, and he would say later, and I quote, "I may have to disobey my government, but if I do not, I will disobey God." Chiun was a good man. The primary religion of the day, and I'm not sure what it is today, was Shinto in Japan. Guess what? Chiun was a Christian man. Jesus made him good. He wasn't an extraordinary guy. He was just a government bureaucrat pushing paper, you might say. He was a good guy doing good things for God, reflecting the goodness of God. Somebody said, goodness isn't... Somebody said it like this. Goodness is uneventful. It does not flash. It glows. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says this. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God has given us unlimited power and unlimited resources as we walk with Him to have all things at all time and all we need to be good to this lost and dying world, good to our families, good in our homes, good to folks at work, good to each other. He's given in abundance everything we need at any time or all times, so that we will, and we read it in 1 Peter, 2 Peter 2, so that we will abound in every good work. We can be good to the core. With Christ in our life, we should be good to the core. Oh, now remember, it won't save you. Only the grace of Jesus Christ saves you. But I don't want to hear it in this church anymore that I'm no good. I'm not good enough. I'm no good. I'm just a piece of garbage. Jesus thinks a lot more of you than that. As you walk with Him, you're good like Barnabas. I thought of the story, and I could go on and on. It's such a powerful topic. In Matthew 25, you may remember the parable of the talents. To one servant was given five, to another servant was given two, to another servant was given one. The one with five went out and earned five more. The one with two went out and earned two more. The one with one, he had a gift from God as well, buried it in the ground. Didn't end up well for that fellow. But for the other two, do you remember what Jesus said to him? Do you remember? Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words. Those are the words that we should long to hear. So take what God has given you. Walk with the Lord. And He'll make you good. Lord, have mercy. He'll make you better than you ever thought you could be. He'll bless you more abundantly than you ever thought you'd be blessed as you walk with Him. Well done, good and faithful servants. Let's pray, and worship team, if you'll come. Lord, we